Blog Talk Radio.
Get your hands for angel
for a lot of
flexibility,
so you'll
never be safe. Hello? Hello? Yep. Hello? Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. How are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Angela?
Everything is going fine. Having technical difficulties. Blog Talk need to get the stuff together.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're more than welcome. Hello, welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. As you know, I'm your host, Angela Butler. Tonight we have, and I hope I pronounce his name right, I got to better introduce yourself.
This is M.V. Oliphant.
Oliphant, okay.
Right. M.V. Oliphant, actor,
yeah.
Writer, and both.
Okay. Hello, listeners. The guest today, as you just heard, this afternoon, is Mark Oliphant.
Yep.
Okay.
Hi, everyone.
Okay. When do you know that you can act and sing?
When I was a kid. When I was a kid, I used to be fascinated, like most kids are, they're fascinated by what they see on TV, but many people grow out of it, but I don't think I grew out of it, I grew into knowing that this was something I seriously wanted to do, so I started, studying and analyzing, even at a young age, the mechanics of it, and I used to imitate some of the actors I've seen on TV in front of the mirror in my bedroom, when I was a kid. So that's where it started. And, of course, those church plays and school plays, like most of us start.
Okay. What was your first film? What was your first, very first film?
Very first film I worked on?
Yes.
I was an extra my sophomore year at Morehouse for Spike Lee's film School Days.
Yes, I remember that film. They still show it. Yeah.
That was a mind-blowing experience.
Film.
I mean, seeing all these cameras, all these stars on your campus, and all these lights, and everybody scurrying here and there, whatnot. Said, go here, go there, sit here, sit there, and whatnot. And all this was going on right there on your campus. I was just mind blown by it, and after that experience, I'd start to see, films and the makings of film, motion pictures and television shows, totally different.
Okay. So you also sing.
Yes.
Which do you like best, acting or singing?
I'm sorry?
Which do you like best, acting or singing?
I've been asked that a lot.
Okay, you've been asked that a lot.
And that's quite a difficult question to answer because, you know, I love to do both. You know, it depends on the weather and the time of day. I open myself up to doing acting as well as singing. My background experience singing, you know, like most singers, started in the church as a church choir, and I did a brief stint with the Morehouse College Glee Club for only my freshman year, and I've sung with a few groups and bands over the years, local bands basically.
Okay. Who has inspired you the most throughout your career, entertainment in the entertainment industry? Who has inspired you the most as an artist?
As an artist, well, my beginnings, I would say, who helped me get on, I would say, who inspired me as far as getting started. She's like my big sister. She's down in my hometown, Augusta, Georgia. Her name is Maxine Nesbitt. She's known as Maxine Barnett. Now she's Maxine Nesbitt. She's been in Heat of the Night, Murder in Mississippi, and her most recent project was a few years ago, Skeleton Key, where she played the witch doctor. She really showed me the ropes. She gave me my first break in the lead role of a stage play, a community local stage play called House Without Windows. So she really took me up under her wing and showed me the ropes, you know, everything from headshots, auditions, you know, how do I get into a film, basically. So, but as far as acting and technique, who inspired me, I would say it's a lot of actors I've studied over the years that, you know, I've admired because of their versatility and how in depth they go into acting. I will say those like, of course, Denzel Washington. I will say Afino Omalami, his son-in-law of Jose Williams. He played in a number of films. Most people may know him as college president in Drumline and the Sand Raising Preacher and Ray.
Okay, Ray. All right. I remember that.
I admire his acting. I admire the intensity and the versatility. As far as versatility, I greatly admire Idris Elba. I mean, because it's mind-blowing. His skill, his technique, using the command of the king's language and his native language and American language. I mean, he plays his Southern dialect on Daddy's Little Girls and New York Hustler dialect on Takers and American Gangster. Yeah, well, actually, in Takers, I believe he used his old English accent. So, I mean, I was mind blown when I heard him do an interview in his native tongue. I was like, wow.
He can speak different dialects.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's something I'm working on because that's one of the key secrets in this industry to maintain an edge of competition and getting roles.
Oh, okay.
And Jamie Foxx, I admire him greatly. I mean, his portrayal of Ray Charles just took me to the moon.
I thought I was seeing Ray Charles a little bit.
Right.
You know, he acted so well till you thought he was Ray Charles.
He did more than just act as Ray Charles. He was Ray Charles. He committed to Ray Charles. And that was a lesson I learned because he actually had some sort of theater adhesive used to. He wanted his eyes adhesive shut. You know, during the whole scene, even after it wrapped, he didn't want to just try to close his eyes, pretend he's Ray Charles. He committed to Ray Charles. I mean, and what I like about Denzel Washington, he he commits intensively, you know, to the Malcolm X. When he was Malcolm X, I understand that he was so intense, deep into Malcolm X. You saw Malcolm X. You didn't see Denzel. You saw Malcolm X. And after the film shoot wrapped up for Malcolm X, I understood it took him about 2 weeks to get out of character, return back to Denzel. And I was like, wow. So this is something that this craft is something that you have to be totally committed to. I mean, get lost in, so to speak. You know.
Yes.
That's because my goal as an actor is to convince you that I am who I'm there to portray. And that's the key lesson I've learned in a lot of acting classes I've learned because if you still hold on to your real person and not being honest with the character, then you know, you're not going to get the job, and you're pretty much going to be pissing off people.
Oh, okay.
they just see you. Yeah, I mean, imagine, you know, somebody doing half-ass acting, and you know, and you paid money to see them. You know, wouldn't you be kind of peeved? You know, I know,
yeah.
I would. So that's why this is something that, you know, you certainly have to, you know, be committed to.
Okay. Now, you've talked about a lot of famous African-American men, who've been in Hollywood and been in film a while and who are very talented, extremely talented, beyond mind-blowing talented. So, but we're going to talk about you now.
Okay.
We're going to talk a little bit about you. Some back because
right,
that's
cool.
What the show's about.
All right, thank you. Once again, thank you so much. I'm humbled that you thought enough about me because I've been reading your posts on Facebook, and you've had some very well renowned and, you know, and respectable, you know, personalities on your show, and I'm just honored that you have a little country boy like me from Augusta, Georgia, by way of Renz, Georgia, on your show.
Well, let me say something.
So, what God. Yeah.
You're humble,
and that's wonderful.
Once we get into this interview about you,
right.
Most people will realize and know that this is no amateur. So
right.
What character did you portray in Miracles?
In which film, I'm sorry?
Miracles. What character
Miracles,
did you
play? In the stage play, Miracles.
Yes.
I played a comical character, a homeless comedy relief character called Skeeter Williams.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, Skeeter Williams. You know, he's homeless, and he tries to push up on the church mother who tries to get him to church.
Okay.
So I think that was my third play. I've done eight stage plays in my career since I started doing stage plays professionally back in 1997.
Okay. What was your character in a cappella musical?
Acapella.
Thank you for correcting me.
All right. That's why. Okay. All right. Let's get it right now.
Get it right. Yeah. Get it right.
That's cute.
I can't pronounce it right.
I played the. I portrayed the one of the lead characters, the chorus director. The story of a cappella is about centers around a small church. A small struggling church who's about to be bought out, you know, by the city due to regentrification, and because they can't come up with the money to pay the taxes, so it's like a handful of members, you know, like 10 church members, half of them in the choir, and I've been brought to the church to try to help resurrect the church and the choir, and there's like a big choir competition that my character, the choir director, wants to get the church involved in as a way of winning the prize to save the church. Well, while the pastor has this his own ideas of doing an old-fashioned pancake breakfast as a fundraiser.
Oh, okay.
To to raise money, and so you know where that goes and what that results to, the choir director, my character, and the pastor, by James J.T. Taylor, not J.T. Taylor from Cool and the Gang. There's another actor. We called him J.T.,
okay.
James Taylor, and that played Pastor. Our character's Bumphead, so that's one of the intense moments of the production. I performed that last year, last summer, at the Porter Sanford Theater, a theater facility managed by David Manuel, who used to be the marketing director for Alliance Theater.
Okay.
And that was my first experience performing at that theater. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the director, Paul Evans III. You know, I learned so much from him. Even though that was my, I think that was like my sixth of my eight stage plays performance, and he taught me so many techniques that he learned, you know, from it being involved in major productions that I really valued and cherished.
Okay. What was your role on Oxygen Network, on that documentary, Snapped?
Yeah, on Oxygen Network on Snapped.
Uh-huh.
I was in the, that was the third season of Snapped. I was the, my character, I was in the episode, Bridget Harris Story. I'm sure you got a lot of your listeners out there are Snap fans. I've had a lot of ladies that tell me that the show Snap was their guilty pleasure. So,
okay.
Honestly, you know, I never heard of Snap until my agent cast me for that show. That was awesome.
Okay.
I played in the Bridget Harris Story. The story of Bridget Harris was she was from Queens, a young lady in her 20s out of Queens, New York, who murdered her father after years of having been molested by him. He was a Liberian immigrant, and guess who played the father?
Who? Okay, I should have guessed.
So my character was murdered. I have some pics from it on my website, mpolofunt.com. From
okay.
That episode. That aired in November 2010. So that was basically one of my first national lead roles.
Okay.
Have
you worked with or for Mr. Tyler Perry?
Yes, I have. I've worked, I began there like many people, you know, here in the Atlanta area. And one thing I want to say about Mr. Perry, he really he's a man that stands by his word. He's about helping talent, you know, people, and giving people a chance because somebody had to give him a chance. So I greatly, before I go any further, I want to greatly express my thanks and sincere appreciation for his contribution to my career. I started there quite naturally as an extra. I was extra
okay.
on Meet the Browns I think it was the fourth season. I was whatever season was, 2010 and 2011. I was an extra on a couple of episodes, and
but that's not
one was Meet the Police, and I'm sorry.
You also your role. What was your role for better or worse with Mr. Tyler Perry?
Right. I'm getting to that. I want to tell you about my relationship with Tyler Perry, how it started. Of course, you know, after that, I had an opportunity to become, I was cast to be on House of Pain for two seasons. I was Uncle Curtis Payne's Chief Payne, also known as Curtis Payne, stand-in. A good friend and lead actor, LaVann Davis, and
okay.
The final two seasons, I was his stand-in, and the season finale of the final season of House of Pain, I was cast as the bailiff in the courtroom scene where Calvin, played by Lance, my face this shooter. So now, to answer your question about for better or worse, that I consider was my major. I was in Snap. You know, I done Snap. That was my first role. But this was, I consider, my biggest break
okay.
to that date of my career when I was cast as a day player, as a limousine driver in this past season's finale. called the Big Date, which I was the limousine driver. That was my first film credit, and that's when I became Screen Actors Guild eligible. So, like I said, to God be the glory for that great opportunity. Because I tell you, and just reiterate what you and I spoke about before this interview, is that, you know, this journey has taught me a great lesson about arriving in your season, or waiting on the Lord and arriving in your season, because there are some things I had to go through to learn and to be prepared, because these things that God, these doors that God's open for me now, had He allowed me to walk through those things years ago when I wasn't ready, I would have destroyed.
Right, yeah.
In this business, you only get one shot. You only get one shot, you know, and how you make out that one shot, it'll make you break your career.
Yes, that is true.
So I thank God that, you know, I had to do these years. I put in some time, you know, being an extra. I worked as an extra in many films here in Atlanta for, like, I think about 4 years. I spent 4 years as an extra, you know, especially between the years of 2008 when I was laid off DHL Express here in Atlanta, Georgia. I was kind of out of the job market for about two or three of those years, you know.
Okay.
I was doing extra work, starting with Preacher's Kid. I had a feature extra role in that film. And then, you know, there was films like Lottery Ticket. I was Ice Cube. I was Ice Cube stand-in, and I was one featured extras in the church scene. So the guy that with the yellow suit that's shouting in church, you know, when Mike Epps, the preacher, shows the overhead projector, but this is the white God wants me to have.
Okay.
So that was
all
the
right.
opportunity. You know, I mean, you got movies like The Gospel, ATL, Vampire Diaries, you know, a lot of those I was an extra in. And what I did was, whether or not I got FaceTime, I mean, of course, you know, like any extra would want, you know, FaceTime and be able to be seen, so I could, you know, let your friends, hey, that right there, that pause right there, because it's like, you got to pause now because it's like 3 seconds.
Okay.
But, you know, what I profit from that is that I got to meet some phenomenal people, you know, behind the cameras, you know, build some relationships with casting, you know, coordinators, extras casting coordinators, even principal casting coordinators, and that's what
you made a connection. You also, even
exactly.
though you were planning, you were networking and making connections also.
Exactly. And that's what I tell people who wants to give this industry a shot. So look, it's not going to happen overnight. And I can't really tell you when it's your season. But to get started, you know, I would say this is probably one of the ways you can get started. Some folks start without being extra. They prefer to just do theater and just do classes, which is perfectly fine.
So, you have to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yes. What are some of your upcoming work in films and television?
On last month, God opened another major door for me. I spent 3 days in Knoxville, Tennessee, filming for the first season episode opener. Next season episode opener of TV1's Fatal Attraction.
Oh, okay.
So that's my first break as a lead role. So I praise God because the episode is named after the character that I portrayed, reenacted portrayals of Jerry Logan. So
and when
it hasn't been announced. I'm not sure. I'm waiting to hear. I'm trying to find out from TV1 when the new season of Fatal Attraction comes on. They haven't posted on the website. But if everyone would just stay posted to my website, MVOLIP is Peter, H is in Harry, A, N is Nancy, T is Tom.com, MVOLIP.com, or reach out to me on Facebook, MVOLIPHANT, and I'll be posting updates for everyone. And for all my peeps in Atlanta, myself along with my co-stars, Shanae Jackson, who's based here in Atlanta. She co-starred with me in that episode of for Fatal Attraction. We're going to be hosting a watch party at a place and location to be announced. So as soon as we find out the location and the time and of the air date, we will definitely put it out there on my website and on Facebook, and want everyone to come out.
Okay. Well, you recently in Lifetime Drop Dead Diva?
Right. Right.
Okay.
That was one of my that's one of the films that I worked as an extra in.
Okay.
And that I was able to make great connections. That was through casting coordinator extraordinaire Bill Marinella out of Hollywood. He's here in Atlanta now. I mean, I worked as an extra with him. He gave me a shot, you know, working with him as a casting coordinator on some films as well. That was a great learning experience.
Okay.
Where I actually helped cast people. So one thing about this business is that you want to learn as many aspects of the business, find what your niche is, you know, and even if acting is your niche, learn. It won't hurt to learn some other aspects of the industry because I've met some acting legends who are now directing films now who were major, you know, names. I mean, they're still legends in my book, but they're major names, you know, back in the day, back in the 80s, 90s, whatever, who are now directing films such as Kim Fields, who I call her my baby sister.
Okay, Kim, I remember Facts Alive.
Facts Alive.
I tell you a joke
when she was the running joke on the set of Tyler Perry Studios on House of Pain, and also on Meet the Browns, you know, the running joke was that if you call her Tootie, you're going to get kicked off the set.
Oh!
But that was a joke. No, she's nothing like that. She is a doll. I learned so much from her and
okay.
She and her husband, Christopher Morgan, a Broadway actor. They took me under the wing. I've been to their home and everything, and fellowship with them. And
okay.
They're just as humble as they want to be. I love them.
Yeah. I found that a lot of people who come on my show are very humble and grateful to God. Very humble, grateful God.
Absolutely, because just as sure as God can give you this blessing, this favor, He can snatch it from you, blink of an eye. Because you show your gratitude by giving credit to Him, not to yourself. But when people give you confidence, that's the thing. You have to glory to God.
Okay.
And I learned that from my mother as well. So
your mother? Okay.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
All right. What is it like working for Tyler Perry?
You have to be on your A game. And understandably so, because this is a competitive business. You know, when you're given an opportunity, even if you start as an extra, you know, like just be on your A game, listen, follow directions, follow instructions. And when I was I became a stand-in for LeVan Davis, a.k.a. Curtis Payne. That was a move up that showed me right there that they saw something in me. They gave me a shot, an opportunity that, and I couldn't let them down. So I had to really step up my A-game by, you know, learn how to follow instructions, follow direction, making your cues, whatnot, because what's great about working at Tyler Perry Studios, any actor in Atlanta, aspiring actor in Atlanta, that's been blessed with the opportunity to be a stand-in on any Tyler Perry show, TV network show. That's the only place where you get to actually act, you know, act the scenes. And I believe Roger Bob, who once worked with Tyler Perry, now he has his own studio, Bobcat Studios. He's adopted that philosophy, from what I understand, for the Ricky
okay.
Smiley Show.
Ricky Smiley Show. Okay, you've been on the Ricky Smiley Show.
Right, I've been on
TV One, wasn't it?
Right, on TV1. TV1, it was the episode with Fred Hammond and Walker Flame. I mean, what a combination, huh?
Yes.
So that I tell you, it was so fun over there. You know, Ricky Smiles, my frat brother, rude to the cues.
Okay.
I mean, he's an awesome brother. You know, very humble. Now you're talking about somebody very humble. He's very humble. Humble as can be. You know, he fears God fearing. You know, but funny is all get out. Okay.
Because
I have friends ask me, like, you know, they see me in an episode, like, how do you keep a straight face while Ricky's up there portraying Sister Bernice Jenkins? I tell them 12 takes. It's 12 takes. I don't wish 12 takes they kept. So,
okay.
But back to question about working at Tyler Perry Studios, you know, like I said, you think, like any other film production studio, you think you're not being watched, but you are. So
yeah.
It's important to tell your game is. If this is what you want, if this is what one wants to do, and like I said, he's very kind. He's very kind, you know, person. You know, the Tyler Perry Studios family is awesome crew.
Okay.
Especially getting them and everything. I enjoy working with them. A lot of them I still stay in touch with, and it's just an awesome place. I mean, it's a beautiful campus over there as well at that studio.
Okay. You also worked with Miley Cyrus, and you've worked with Johnny Carson. How was that, working with
them? What was the last thing?
Miley
Cyrus, would you say after that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson?
Yeah.
Like Tonight Show with Johnny Carson?
Yeah. Did I get that wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish I'd worked with Johnny Carson.
Okay, I got that wrong.
That's okay. That's all right. Jesus loves you.
I got that completely wrong because I'm looking at it here.
I was like, ooh, I love that. Well, my parents, yeah, I was a stand-in for one of the actors on her movie that was filmed down in Thailand. I was one of the stand-ins on her movie that was filmed down in Tybee Island, Georgia, just below Savannah, called The Last Song.
Mm-hmm.
That was filmed back in 2010. And really, to be honest with you, I didn't know who Miley Cyrus was or Hannah Montana was.
Okay,
I've heard of Hannah Montana by way of my ex-wife's daughter when I was raising her, because we, you know, that was one of the shows she watched, you know, when I was married, and I was like, well, who's Hannah Montana? Who's Hannah Montana? See, I honestly thought Miley Cyrus and Hannah Montana, don't laugh, but I thought they were two different people.
I did it first, too.
Okay, so I don't feel so bad then. But when I said that they were the same person, I mean, I really did look like Boo Boo the Fool on the set. I was like, huh?
Okay, I know where I got Johnny Carson from. I see where I got it from.
That's your guest tomorrow. Who's been on Johnny Carson? Huh?
No, it's Eula Hicks is who appeared in.
Yeah, exactly. Eula Hicks Barassa, she's a great friend of mine. You know, she directed my second play that I was in, Haley, the story of Mahalia Jackson, back in 2006. Now, she was on Johnny Carson show performing, and she was dancing to the production stage, Broadway stage production of Hair, and they appeared on Johnny Carson show.
Yeah, that's where I got it from. That's where the mix up
right,
is. Okay.
Right. Good save.
Okay. What character out of all your roles so far did you most enjoy portraying?
I can't say there's one that I enjoy portraying. I would name probably about two or three of them, and I explain and I'll define, you know, why specifically why to those characters were meaningful to me. One was recently I portrayed on August 3rd, and this past August 3rd, and I'm going to portray it again. It's one of my stage plays called The Face of Homeless.
Okay.
And where I portray Gary, a homeless guy who try to make amends with his son. He's lost everything. He was a war vet. He's a Persian Gulf war vet who's got frazzled by, you know, post-traumatic war syndrome. He turned to drugs, alcohol. I mean, he just became grungy, dirty, a hopeless case. When he came back from the war, he the PWSC ailment caused him to abuse his wife and his son. They lost both of them. So the play illustrates him, you know, trying to make amends to his son. He just hit rock bottom, and at the end, he's recovered through the process, 12-step program and whatnot. And I take me it. What I love about that is that that's taking my acting stretch to another. I stretch my acting capabilities to another level. That, you know, I praise God, I've never been homeless, but I've experienced rejection. So I took that, and having lived in downtown Atlanta, I live in downtown
Atlanta
now.
And it made you stronger, the rejection did. It made you stronger.
Exactly. And not only that, I've made treks to, you know, some of the parks downtown Atlanta where the homeless migrate at, and I've been involved with the homeless ministry at my church. So we do more than just feed the homeless, just give them a plate, say a prayer with them and keep walking. We actually talk to them. And so I took my experience fellowshipping with them, hearing their stories, sensing their frustrations, their bitterness, you know, and of course, you know, working with homeless, you know, helped me stay off. Just wanted to keep things that helped you stay off. So I brought all that to Gary in the story of Face of Homeless. And the upcoming film of what was, speaking of Face of Homeless, we're going to portray it. We're going to present Face of Homeless again on the weekend before Thanksgiving, November 23rd and 24th in Jonesboro, Georgia. Everyone can go to my website to get details. If you're on the south side of Atlanta, please come out and join us. It's free admission. Yes, I said free, F-R-E-E. Come on out.
Okay.
And I'm experienced the Face of Homeless, directed by Bartel Webb, who is the writer, actress, and she's been homeless herself, she and her family. So this is basically their story.
All right.
About her and her family's life, exactly. And so also another character I say that helped me stretch my acting chops and to more, you know, deeper in depth, I would say, is the upcoming episode of Fatal Attraction.
Like
I said, I'm not sure when it's coming out. TV One hasn't announced it yet when it's going to air. That's pretty much their call when the new season will air. But, you know, I don't want to get too much away from that. But let's just say I've done things on that show I'd never done before as an actor.
It's
intense. It's very intense. So I think everybody just needs to watch. Trust me on this, people. Okay.
And, all right.
You know, and I will say also my first stage play, House Without Windows, because it was a murder mystery production. It was my first, I mean, I never done, you know, professional acting, but other outside of, you know, church plays and school plays and whatnot, and little independent. I never even done independent productions at that time, but just to deliver the characterizations, you know, of that character, of the murder mystery, where my character end up being the culprit of murder of a woman who's his sister, just to get her millions that she left behind. So he plotted her murder to try to get her money. So that was a deep, intense, a very challenging one. And I appreciate not only Maxine Barnett Nesbitt for this opportunity, but also the former drama director of Payne College, J.C. Taylor, God rest his soul. I really learned so much from him about characterization, delivery, and being a convincing actor, and looking depth into the character and studying the scenes. And he had us going to work. He had us rehearsing 5 days a week. And I thank God for those 5 days a week, because that was the only way I was gonna get all those lines.
All right. I don't know how much of this you can talk about because it hasn't been released yet, but what about Ride Along? The film Ride Along?
Yeah, Ride Along. That was my I recently worked with Ice Cube and Kevin Hart and Lawrence Fishburne. They'll be starring in the movie, directed by Tim Story, who also directed Barbershop 2, Back in Business, also produced by Will, oh my God, I'm sorry. You're going to come to me. Will Packer. He directed, some films he's known for is Stompy Yard.
Okay. I was reading and researching some things, and I found out that you sang at Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Yes, I performed with the Ebenezer Choir this past King Holiday on two occasions. One was the King Holiday celebration. I was part of the Ecumenical Choir, which was directed by my former director of Morehouse College of Bleakwell, Dr. David Morrow, a good friend of mine, and also I had opportunity to lead a selection this past spring for a special event that they have annually at that church. So, you know, I call Ebenezer my second church family. Of course, my first church family is Fountain of Faith Missionary Baptist Church in Riverdale, Georgia. So I want to give them a plug in and shout out as well.
Okay. Is that Dr. Martin Luther King's former church?
Yes, Ebenezer Baptist Church. Well, it was his church when he was up to the time he was assassinated. His father was pastor, and he was a co-pastor. But one more thing I want to say about Ride Along. Ride Along held actually Ice Cube stand-in again.
Okay.
So this is my second time being in stand-in. So I won't actually be seen in the movie, but I took part in the production as his stand-in, and I got a chance to learn a lot from him, as well as Lawrence Fishburne, who's also my homeboy from Augusta, Georgia, as well.
Okay. Well, you have been in a lot of things. I couldn't name everything, but you have an extensive resume. It's like three pages.
Like I said, always, you know,
pages.
God is good. Thank you.
I mean, it's extensive. It's like four pages. And
that's why I put it on my website.
Yeah, it's a whole lot. You performed in Miracles. I think I already named that.
Right.
It's so many things here, and I've researched it, and it's just amazing. You're now directing also.
Yes, I have. Um, I have I'm my business partner and I, David Darnell Israel, we have a production company based here in Atlanta called Premier Entertainment Productions. We produce and direct some music videos, some movie shorts. Some of my work is on my channel on YouTube as well as on my website as well.
Okay.
My first directing debut was directing. I was AD or assistant director for his son's video. He's an up and coming R&B artist, Eli Ravel.
It's
a song called Move.
Called what? Say it again.
Move it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now,
yes.
You also sing. We haven't really touched on the singing, but
all right.
Do you also sing with R.B. Newman Male Chorus?
Yes, I have. That's our male choir. I've been singing with those gentlemen for like about the entire time I've been a member of the church, about 6 years.
Okay. And you're also directing. So you are doing amazing. I didn't really touch on the singing like I wanted to because I have some other
mm-hmm.
questions, and we only got like five
all
minutes
right.
left. I'm sorry that
okay.
I didn't play commercials, but I had cheated you out of 10 or 12 minutes of time, you know,
because
okay. I had technical problems, but that's
okay.
why we didn't take breaks, listeners. What have you learned in the entertainment field that has benefited you the most and that will help others who are in the entertainment industry?
Read that again. You're good now.
What have you learned in the entertainment industry that has benefited you the most and that will help others who are also striving and are in the entertainment industry, are striving to be in the entertainment industry?
The biggest lesson I've learned in anything, a big takeaway I would say, Angela, you know, is with this industry, and anyone, you know, anyone could use this as a takeaway for whatever they aspire to, whether or not it's in acting, whether it's aspiring to be a lawyer, a doctor, or a teacher, or a military a veteran or whatnot, is commitment. You have to be committed to it, put God first, because what you put into it, you're going to get out of it. And I found, like I said, I found this to be, you know, my niche, because acting to me is more of an outlet and a therapy for me, you know, because I'm able to be somebody else, you know, when I feel like being somebody else. Right, exactly. Thank you. And you know, when I look at a script, you know, when I'm approached about a role, whatnot, I want to, I have to ensure that I can you know, commit myself to that to that role.
Yes,
you know,
I
can I do this role? Can I be honest about this role?
It's like you were saying earlier when we talked on the phone, if you're in acting, what we were talking about singing and everything, but if you're in acting, you have,
uh-huh.
if you're in it for the money, I don't know who you said told you this, but you
uh-huh.
said a woman did. If you're in acting for the money, you're not going to make it.
Right, and that was Terry Vaughn. Who told me that was Terry Vaughn. I've taken acting classes from her. A lot of people know her as Renee on Meet the Browns and LaVita Alizé Jenkins on Steve Harvey's show.
Did she play the nurse, the funny nurse in the hospital on Meet the Browns?
Right. That is Renee on Meet the Browns. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, she was
the
CNA or something. She would be at the desk.
Right, exactly. And when I took her class, that's the first thing she told us, that look, if you're in this business to get rich, this is not for you.
Okay.
because basically what she's saying is, if you know, commit yourself to this business, go through the hard knocks, whatnot that you may encounter, and make the right thing, God, and allow God to, you know, lead you to the right people, the right connections, whatnot, and put Him first, then, you know, the money's going to come.
All right, yes, that is true.
Yeah, you put your God, you trust in God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, and He'll give you the affairs of the heart. So that's basically what now, applying that.
Okay, we've got 90 seconds left. So
right,
what
okay.
now? What is next? MV Mark Oliphant.
Okay, once again, November 23rd, 24th, I'll be in the production of Face of Homeless in Jonesboro, Georgia. The location and address is on my website, and also stay tuned check TV1's online.com, as well as my website mvoliphant.com
okay.
for the date of Fatal Attraction. And thank you so
okay.
much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you, Mark MV Oliphant, for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Have a blessed night, everyone, and Mr. Oliphant. I wish you the best because you're very talented.
All right, I wish you the best.
Yes, I couldn't go through everything, but like I said, your biography is 4 pages long, so that's a lot, a whole lot, You know, I didn't go through everything. It's impossible to, but you have a good night, okay?
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, God bless you.
God bless you, too.